Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise his name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we appreciate being here this evening. Amen. We want to thank him for his grace and his love once more. Amen. Come into his house to worship him, to praise his name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Do we love him tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's welcome him tonight. Amen. We are here to praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Your name, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Father. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise his name. Let's sing this little song. Hallelujah. He is my reason for living. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He is my reason for living. He is thy Lord and my song. Oh, he is the rock. He is the rock, my salvation. Lord, I praise him the morning. Oh, he is my reason for living. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You is our reason, Lord, for living. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name on the call, brother, at this time. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise your name, Father.
Thanks. Praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Honor and glory to you this evening, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name.
Hallelujah. Oh God, we come tonight with thanksgiving and praise to you. Once more, assembling ourselves. Lord, we have taken our post of duty tonight, Lord. We come in with the greatest of reverence. We come in under expectation, oh God, that you will speak to us, Lord. We want to hang on to every word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Father, tonight we express our gratitude, Lord, that we have come to realization, Lord, As man lives, he has many pursuits, many ambitions, many goals. But tonight, Lord, there's a revelation of our heart. There's a purpose in our living. Lord, something to achieve, something in your program. And we give you thanks for calling us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give you praise for choosing us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So whatever that purpose is, oh God, according to your word, become humbly, Lord, and reverently submit ourselves. Breaking down every altar tonight. Hallelujah.
Bless your name, Father.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Looking for a total deliverance from every weight or every sin that besets us, that in any way may hinder or impede. Oh God, you're accomplishing that purpose, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We come this evening, Lord God, in total surrender, Lord. Lord God, saying, Lord, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Let it be made manifest in our lives. Lord, not only our salvation, Lord, which, Lord, we know we ought to make secure, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But, Lord, in your service, whatever that service may be, wherever that call to duty is, Lord God, that we may be trained, may be equipped and commissioned for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Lord, we acknowledge that it's by you we live and by you we move and have our being. And we give thanks for it. We want, Lord God, with this revelation of your very person, Lord, like the psalmist said, truly, Lord, our souls wait upon you. For, Lord, you only are our rock and our salvation. Our expectation is from you, Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Lord, as we walk this earthly sphere as pilgrims, Lord God, not only seeking a city to come, but, Lord, to achieve a purpose in your program. And this evening we come in, Lord, like the clay in the potter's house.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord, healing ourselves to you that you will separate us and you will mold us and shape us. Lord, into that finished product, Lord, making us vessels of honor to fulfill your purpose. We so submit our lives, our all. Lord, our bodies, our soul, our spirit, we pray that you may sanctify us wholly, Lord, and present us spotless before you. Granted, we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispered, draw closer to me. Amen. 65 in the Big Red Books. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe that voice is calling us tonight. Amen. Thank you, Father. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, run closer to me. That's why I'll be willing to do I'll treat sunshine. I'll treat sunshine for yes, comfort. Oh, comfort. Oh, that's what. Well, that's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes, mine to do. Oh, that's what. That's why I'll be willing to do. Take the dearest thing to me. Take the dearest thing, if that's all it should be. It must be. To draw me closer, to draw me closer to thee. Let the disappointment come. Let the disappointment, hallelujah. The only days without us. Oh, if in sorrow, more like you I become. Take my horses, take my horses, take my lands, take my dreams, take my dreams and my plans. For I'm placing my whole life in your hand. My whole heart. Thank you, Father. And if you call me someday, and if you call me to the land far away, then I'll go, then I'll go, and your will be. Oh, babe, oh, and whatever it takes, and whatever it will draw closer. That's what, oh, that's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes for my will, for my will to, oh, that's what, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll treat sunshine for rain. I'll treat sunshine for comfort for pain, comfort. Oh, that's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever it is. For my will to break,
For my that's what I'll be willing. That's what I'll be willing to do. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy tonight, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I'm called by that once more. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we have an example in the rich wrong ruler that we ought not to follow in his footsteps. We bring our offering of all our life's ambitions, goals, objectives, our possessions, O God, our obsessions, upon this altar of sacrifice tonight. In any way, O God, run contrarywise to your program for our lives, we offer it tonight. Hallelujah. O God, may you come down and burn our sacrifice, that your will may be established, your will might be accomplished.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Here, Lord, this evening we
Hallelujah.
Offer a little material substance that you have given unto us. Receive it, Lord, and be applied for your purpose, for your honor and glory. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice tonight. Amen. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we settled the question and we made a choice. Let the anthem ring out songs of victory. Oh, let the church be the church. Well, let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we settled the question and we made songs of victory, songs of victory, swell for the church. Triumph, who is alive, is alive. Oh, let the church be the church. Oh, let the let the people rejoice. For we settle a question. For we settle. Hallelujah. And we made a choice. And we. Hallelujah. Let the anthem. Let the anthem ring. Songs of victory swell for the church. Triumph is alive. that one more time. Let the church, let the church, oh, be the church. Let the people Hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. You may be seated tonight. Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to call Brother Dale to sing for us tonight. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God we are standing where the prophets have stood on God's holy mountain. Wouldn't move if I could. Just feel
Thank God for this message that has nailed this child down. Seven nails have been driven by his sweet faithful hand. Though all hell has sealed me, by grace we shall stand. Thank God for his hammer that has beaten for me. All self-will and doubt, the only way to charity. And soon I shall see him as beholding his face with seven colors reflecting his thundering grace.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. May we stand tonight. Praise his name. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Hallelujah. Think about it, love.
Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through for as high as the heavens. For as high about his love, think about his goodness, think about his goodness, yes, Lord. Think about his grace that brought us through. Oh, he did brought us through tonight. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Oh, let's sing it again.
About his love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. So great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's
love. Oh, once more, with real praise unto him, we so appreciate his love tonight.
Love, thank you, Lord. think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory and praise be unto your wonderful name tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. We worship you tonight. We bow our hearts in your great presence. We lift up holy hands unto you, dear God. We come with gratitude and thanksgiving tonight. Lord Jesus, you have been so good to us, Lord. Undeserving and unprofitable as we are, yet, oh God, you set your affection upon us and you have shown to us your goodness. How great thou art tonight, Father. We exalt thee, Lamb of God. We praise you tonight. We lift you up, dear God. Oh, wonderful is thy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise and glory be unto your name tonight. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, we honor you tonight, Father. We thank you for your presence among your people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's so good to come into your house. It's so good to come into your presence, Lord, to know you've come down to be with us tonight. Oh, we appreciate that tonight. We feel honored and privileged tonight, Lord. Something good always happens when you come in the midst of your people. We thank you for it tonight. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes as we look to him in prayer tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You have a special request as we approach his great presence tonight. Or it should cause faith to rise high in our hearts, to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, to know that we've sung our praises, we've already offered some of our prayers unto him tonight, making the requests of our hearts known, knowing he's interested in our needs tonight. Oh, we come in the presence of our God who shed his blood to redeem us and to make a way that we can come back into his presence. We come bringing a sacrifice of praise unto him. Oh, let us offer it unto him and let us make a request known with joy as he told us to do, believing that we have received what we asked for, and we shall have it tonight. Oh, he's faithful to every word. He knows every word that he has spoken. And he's just looking to see if we would believe it, if we would act upon it, if we recognize it to be the truth. If we could have confidence that he keep every one of his words tonight. Gracious God, we bow our hearts in your presence, Father. Lord, we are so grateful for you being here among us tonight. Even when we think of what it costs, you, dear God, to make the way possible that we could approach your great presence. Sometimes we think of ourselves, Lord, in a high way, and your word cautions us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. Oh God, we don't want to think that we have any merit of our own. Lord Jesus, if we shout and rejoice, it's only because upon the merits of what you have done for us, Father. And Lord God, as we search our hearts and we draw nigh unto you tonight, we come, dear God, knowing it's only because what you have done for us, dear God. How perfect, how complete, how all-sufficient is that sacrifice that you made, dear God. Lord, because you was the only one who understood clearly, Lord, how separated we were from you by that sin in the Garden of Eden. How lost and undone we were, dear God. And Lord God, when man tried to take fig leaves and made themselves aprons, thinking that was going to be sufficient, Lord, thinking that could cover the nakedness,
thing that could cover the shame and the sin, dear God, you had to rip it off of them. Oh, God, you could have judged them right, dear Father. But Lord, rich in mercy, oh, God, you slew that lamb. Lord, though it was just a substitute atonement, though it could not really take away the sin, it could only cover it. But it was pointing to a great one that was going to come one day when you yourself would have to put on flesh and come down and become the propitiation for our sins. Lord God, we are grateful tonight to know it was only the blood of Almighty God that could have broken up every molecule of sin and loose us completely from all guilt and condemnation and cause us to be able to stand justified in your presence, knowing that we are acquitted from guilt, dear God. Oh God, we have peace and be reconciled back to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. To know we have peace tonight, dear God. Lord God, not only do we have peace, but Lord, we stand justified. That is why we have peace, Father, because we are acquitted from all guilt. Oh God, let that be a revelation in every heart, dear God, tonight. Let the Holy Spirit make that such a reality that people will not try to struggle in the energies of the flesh, but they can look upon, Lord, your finished work tonight and know that that is where we have our standing tonight, in Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, that is what we want to have on our hearts. That is the thought we want to entertain in our minds even now as we stand in your presence, Father. As we hold our token with our prayer. Oh, God, as we stand under the shed blood of that innocent Lamb, our Lord Jesus tonight. As we make our requests known according to the promises that you have given unto us, Father, the invitation to come into your presence with boldness. Oh God, knowing that we shall receive grace to help us in this time of need. I pray that the spirit of faith would move in every heart tonight, Lord. That what the people are in need of tonight, the circumstances that they are faced with, the conditions that stand before them, Lord, though it might seem like mountains tonight, may the anointing can become a plain before them. Lord, as they would stand believing in the name of Jesus Christ, asking, dear God, with nothing wavering, knowing that you promise that you will supply every need, even according to your riches and glory. So whether it might be healing for the physical bodies, whether it might be a touch from you, dear God, deliverance, Lord God, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it might be a spiritual problem, dear God, Lord God, whatever it might be, a financial need, a domestic situation tonight, oh, you are the all in all tonight. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, may you move in the direction of them that are needy tonight, and whatever they have need of, as they would trust you and believe, may they receive that when they leave this place, they could go away encouraged, they could go away strengthened, Lord, they could go away settled in their hearts, knowing that you were present and you were touched, Lord God, by their need tonight. You saw their faith in their heart as they stand confessing that you are able to do that for them tonight. Lord, I pray you just have your way among us tonight. We come looking unto you that you would speak to us. You know what this church have need of, Father. This little group, dear God, that you are brooding upon, like you brooded upon the earth back in Genesis, when you transformed it and brought it into a beautiful paradise, where you came down, dear God, and you made your headquarters, Lord. Lord, where you had fellowship with your son and your daughter. Oh, God, there was a oneness. Sin couldn't stand here, dear God. Oh, there was such a harmony, Lord. They looked forward and they anticipated that fellowship from day to day. So, dear God, we desire that you will do the same thing which we believe that you are doing here among your children. I pray tonight as we yield, Lord, under your great holy influence, we will see more of that become a reality within our lives and in our midst. That this little church here, dear God, can be such a perfect church, a church without spot, without wrinkle, knowing, dear God, that is your promise of this hour. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just speak so expressly and you would lead us and guide us in the things that you have laid upon our hearts to speak. We confess and we acknowledge in your presence that, Lord God, we are unable of our own selves, not having any ability of our own to be able to speak life to your people, but that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life himself, would come and speak words, will bring faith, will bring life, will transform and bring your church And Lord, every individual here to the desired place, you desire to see them standing, where they can be the very expression of the thoughts that you had concerning them before the foundation of the world. Remember those who are not among us tonight? Dear God, you know why they are not here, Father. I pray, dear God, that you would be with them at this time, and you would, Lord, help them that they will not be able to forsake their assembly of themselves, but they will be able to stand on the post of duty, Lord, and to be here in the house of God. How we look forward to see the church here rise on a higher level of faith. See a greater quality of spirit operate in and amongst us, Lord. See every need met, oh God, every soul delivered, every family established, Lord. Every individual, Lord God, walking in your perfect will. Oh God, under the divine control of the Holy Spirit. It's not hard for us to ask these things. Father, you promised these things in this hour. And we pray, believing tonight, as we know we stand in your presence and know that you are able to do these things for us. We ask it with faith tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Now have your way in this service and get on unto thy great self, and may your people be assisted. We pray and we ask these blessings in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Glad to be with you tonight. Certainly appreciate the privilege to be in his house tonight. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to read a few places out there. We want to continue in conduct, order, and doctrine of the church. And we've just been using these services for like a little family talk. We can really create in every heart by the word, the feeling, the desire, the approach to the work of God, to us as believers who have a responsibility to carry out the word in our own life, in our own home, in the house of God, to be his representative in whatever way we can. We desire to do it, and we want to better understand it, and that we can be more efficient servants in his service. So I trust you all feel fine tonight, everyone feels settled, and, you know, I had to bury my mother yesterday, and God help us, and everything went fine, and we appreciate all the prayers and the support, and we certainly want to move on in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And, you know, just things just come and go, and just have to keep on keeping on. You know, we just want to stop and relax sometimes, and it's not the time that God says stop and relax. So you just have to move on and know that when he tells you to sit aside and rest, he's going to give you the rest you need. We try to create rest for ourselves, it don't do us much good. But when God put us to rest in the right place, we're going to get real rest. Amen? But Mommy was a dear old lady, and God took her home, and she lived a full life, 76 years of age, and she's gone to her reward by God's grace. She didn't live a spectacular, exciting life to bring people from overseas and all these things, but she didn't reach out, maybe be on her own little community, but nevertheless, she raised her children, and, you know, out there, I am preaching the gospel today for the glory of God and trying to win souls to his kingdom. But Abraham says, he said, you may not do much. He said, but Abraham, what did I do? And I come to the end of my role. He said, you raise your children. You do what God tells you to do. That was your commission. He said, then out of there, one may come and bring thousands of souls to Jesus Christ. Amen. So it goes on like that. And we all have our part. We all have our place. And we're so grateful for that. And had the privilege, you know, of having the neighbors and the people in the village there in the funeral service. And I just kind of got some grace from the Lord to preach the word in a simple way just to the villagers. Didn't try to preach the saints, but just to the villagers there. They can understand something about what we believe and what we stand for over these years. When God took us right up from this street corner and began to walk in this faith 21 years after, the word still stands, and now maybe they can better understand, and God know how to use these circumstances to communicate the gospel to the people. And that is what we want to do. We never know who our life is touching. We never know in what way that our service going forth can be effective. That's why we always just want to
walk so close to the Lord that we just have Him in our hearts and have His presence around us, that whatever we do in thought, in word, and in deed, in its simplicity, God can take that and make it amount to something to bring glory to His name. Eternity will unfold what these things mean. And then when we cross over that side, we realize that God had a great purpose. You see, God worked in such simplicity that sometimes simplicity don't impress our minds the way it should. But then when we see how it unfolds the purpose of God, we realize God dwells in it. God don't just visit simplicity, God dwells in it. That's where He dwells. Whenever you find Him in simplicity, whenever He reveals Himself, not no great big startling thing out there, out of humility. Something that might go by unnoticed. Something that might you might just stumble over it. And when you stop and you re-examine it, you say, wait, God was hiding there? Yeah, that was God. Come so close. Always wants to come close to each and every one of us. Amen. Let's just take a quick read here. First Chronicles 11. And we're going to read from verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David at Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou was he who led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Verse 9, so David grew greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. And verse, chapter 13, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere, who are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and pasture lands, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not about it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shiloh of Egypt, even unto the entrance of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baala, that is to Kiriath Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord who dwelleth between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came onto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had broken forth upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. You ever get vexed with God yet? Man after God on heart, God get him vexed. He was vexed with God, boy, I tell you. God was vexed and he was vexed. You mind God and his servant, both of them vexed? Looking at the same situation from two different ways. Happened with Jonah one time in the Bible too, you know. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. May the Lord, as blessed be his word, Don't put over the Bible yet. When you have your seat, and we're going to read the last one while you have your seat. And I just want to read a little place out in chapter 15 as well, to lay some background, just a little talk here tonight. And I know you're acquainted with this, but I want to take it in a little different way. Just maybe look at God's character a little bit. Verse 11, chapter 15, First Chronicles. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, you are the chiefs of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us, because we sought him not in the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with its staves. Notice, first they had it on a new cart, and when the oxen stumbled, it didn't say the Levites stumbled, it said the oxen stumbled at the threshing floor, and then they discover it was out of the will of God. And then we see here, David now, between those two times, he got a revelation why God was angry. So David's wrath is cool off, and now he's trying to do it the way God wanted it done. So he found it in the book of Leviticus and Exodus, how Moses said it was supposed to be carried. And now he approaches not the captains and not the congregations and not all the different people. He approaches the priests and the Levites. See? Because first he was doing it the wrong way, even though he was freshly anointed. See? So, and he tells them why, you know. He said, because you did it not at the first. The Lord our God, as verse 13, broke forth upon us. See why God broke forth? He understands why God was angry now. He said, because our approach was wrong. And the way we was doing it, he said, because we sought him not in the due order or the proper way. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with its staves. That's how it was supposed to be carried. That's how Moses was told. As Moses commanded according to the word of God. See, he was final the people opinion, the captain opinion. He wasn't taking the word of the prophet. So then when they wanted the problems, they realized, no, he went back to the word of the prophet. And when he went to the word of the prophet, he realized the word of the prophet didn't reveal it. It should be done the way they was doing it. So David didn't just ask God to change his mind about his word. David changed his approach because he knew that God's word was right. Whether it was right in Moses' time, it was still right in David's time, because God couldn't add to his knowledge. So you make a mistake, you analyze it, you correct it, and you move on. You don't just try to sweep it under the carpet. You don't just try to fight up with God. You don't just try to change God's mind. You don't just try to feel embarrassed that you have to do it over a second time and do it over the right way. You just humble yourself to God. God will be pleased. You will prosper. And then you dance and you shout. And dancing and shouting is acceptable now. And nobody's dying. Everybody's living now. See? So. Amen. And verse 14 says, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with its staves, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers. Notice when from the time the word come in the right channel, they begin to put the worship in the right channel. See, watch how they're setting things in order. But
If you have things in order, and then the word out of order, everything is in out of order, because the word is out of its place. The word is in the wrong channel, you see. So from that that happened, he spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. See, it was a time of joyfulness. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cush, whatever his name is. I don't want to make him feel bad, but I think it's Cushiah. And with them, their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, he had different degrees. Zechariah, Ben, and Jaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Oni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattithiah, and God help me. Amen. Elihu, and Mikneiah, and Obedidam, and Jael, and the porters. So the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to song with cymbals of brass. A man might say, well, I find I could play it better than him. No, they appoint them. See, because it wasn't who felt they could do this and who could do that. And Zechariah and Aziel and Shemiramoth and Jehiel and Oni and Eliab and Maaseiah and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth and Mattithiah and Elihu and Micaniah and Obedidam and Jael and Aziah with the harps on the Sheminit to lead. And Chenaniah, the leader, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about this song because he was skillful. He didn't just lead, he instructed too, because he was skillful. You see, he could interpret the song. He knows how it is to be sung, how it is to be played. He knows how it is to be arranged. He knows who was at the carp and who is to go down, and that they worship, because, you see, God was watching everything. And for the whole thing to be expressed and be offered unto God as a sweet smelling savor for God. Remember, Jesus praises that God is in habit. And when they're going forth into battle and these things, then the people would have to go forth, and like in the time of Jehoshaphat, the singers would sing first, and then God would be so pleased, he would move in an ambush and wipe out the army before even they come afterwards. Because God, the praise would bring the power of God down on the scene. See, like with Paul and Silas in the prison and so on. It's all a New Testament, you see. It's always the same. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. Remember, one time the Philistines take the ark, you know. When you have doorkeepers for the ark, you want people intimidated by Philistines and these things. You want people going to put their life on the line for the ark. So they even were selecting people for every duty. And Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nathaniel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eleazar the priest did blow the trumpet before the ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. So they had them in courses. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord God out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Notice with joy again, because that's how it was supposed to be done. He told them in verse 16, we read it just now. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. See, and all the Levites who bore the ark, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the song of the coronet and with the trumpets and the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, at Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out through the window, who saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. And you know what happened to her? She became barren for that. Now watch something. Here they was coming up before, singing and shouting everything else, and a man could have touched the ark and God struck him dead. Here now, the thing is in its right order, coming up the way God wanted it, and somebody despised it, and God cursed her. See? Now, it was someone despising what was according to due order. What was according to the way God wanted it done. See? At first, a man looked like he wanted to protect the ark from falling to the ground. And he tried to lift it up and prop it back up, and the oxen stumbled and the ark was falling, and God struck that man dead for touching it. And then they realized, David said, God broke forth upon us because we didn't seek him in the due order as he commanded according to Moses the prophet. Out of the air, the prophet preached a message called Doing God a Service Without It Being God's Will, or Trying to Do God a Service. And the whole experience behind the background of that, and that just relaxed me to talk a little bit. I plan to use these services to do that to you, to communicate to you a little better as to setting the church in order, which is us as a body, as a unit. Then, out of the air, if we understand how this house is to be set in order here, it would give us a better insight to establish our own homes. And it gives us a better insight for our own individual lives. We took it in the past services, how Adam and Eve represented the family, the first family. That was the first family God had on earth. And God established a certain way. They had to work, even though it was a paradise. God didn't just leave them to laze around. There was to dress the garden. There was no man to till the soil. And God formed man from the dust of the earth. So showing that in God's perfect home and establishment of the perfect family, he's interested in us working. That's why I come back to the Bible and say, you don't work, you don't eat. God thing is not laser wrong. The Bible says you don't be identified with one who don't want to work. You become an infidel and worse, and not even in the faith if they don't work. God people is industrious people. Amen. Why? And then we're going to find out that God always in his blessings for your finances. You know, one of the things you find a lot of people who serve God today, they complain about they don't have enough money. They're always like financially insecure. And whenever they get taken up with neglecting the work of the Lord, trying to get things for, acquire things for themselves, they feel justified that, well, I had to work because I needed so and so, the children needed this, or the house needed this, or we needed this, or we needed the other. And they feel secure in themselves that they are justified only because they fail to look closely at the Word of God and realize that God has a system that governs their finances. There's a financial blessing. Because God is a provider. He promised to provide. And then he has an ordained way to bless your finances that it might be able to meet all the expenditure that you have and still that you will be the lender and not the borrower. Now remember, God has to keep them words, you know. Anybody who is knowing God in the reality, God has to keep them words. That is a word just like God says a healer. That is a word just like God says, you're going to have a rapture and he's going to give you a new body. The same God who says he's going to give you a new body, he says he's going to take care of your financial needs. He'll give you full press down and running over. So then the thing is, it don't mean he's going to make you a big shot and you're going to be lavish in riches. He's not saying that. Because just like God tells Israel, he says, look, as you go along, and that's why you see sometimes, people don't realize how the sins come from one to the next. Brother, we might have had parents who squander what God gave them in alcohol, in cigarettes, in sports, in gambling. So what happened? They lay up a heritage for us. They lay up a heritage of poverty and financial hardship because they misuse and mismanage the funds that God allowed them to acquire through the health and strength that God gives them in their youthful days. And they use it to satisfy their own lust rather than to assist in the work of God. Now, that promise was for them too. But then they never work with it the way God intended for them to work with it. So then what happened to us, their children? Now, we find ourselves in debt. We find ourselves not living in a house that we own. We find ourselves, you know, in mortgage payments. We find ourselves stick with different things here. We find our mother have to go out on work to get out our father. And we find, and we think that life hard for us. What caused that? Our parents. And what caused upon them? Maybe their parents. You know what I'm saying? And so it go on. Now, when we come to the light, and the light has come to us, the light comes and shows us why we are in the situation we are in. And if we have to come out of that situation, there is a provided way. And if we have to be blessed of God, there is a way in God's word, in God's economy, that God lay out these things. We have to start a work with God, work with the Spirit now, knowing that the Spirit has laid out His laws and principles in His word. And if we seek God according to the due order for these things, we are going to receive the blessing. There's a due order to move the ark. So he tried to move the ark outside that due order. But there's a due order for everything. There's a due order for healing. There's a due order for salvation. There's a due order for preaching the word. There's a due order for running the church. There's a due order for raising the families. There's a due order for your finances. There's a due order for your health. And if you don't seek God according to the due order as he laid out by his prophet, because we could go back in the Old Testament, and I could take you through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and show you that when they're going to warfare, there's a way that they go to war. When a man marry a wife, there's a way he had to marry that wife. When he raising children and when they plant in his field, in industrial laws, there's a due order. Go to rest the land a certain time, you're going to, the reaper going to overtake the sow and all these things. Is that right? And God say, you neglect those things, blight come upon your thing, I'll send the locusts, and eat off all that you have. Right? I'll make your heaven brass, I'll make your ground iron. Is that right? He say, I'll send the beasts of the field, they will devour your children and so on. Exactly right. There's chastisement for disobedience, and there's blessing for obedience. And we got to realize that God, by his prophet, laid out the due order for his people in his economy. And this is one instance. What we look at here in 1 Chronicles, how they tried to move the ark. But they didn't search what the word of God said concerning that. They desired a blessing for it. They felt they were doing it to glorify God. They felt they were doing it to assist God. But God don't need our assistance. God needs our obedience. See? And when they tried to do it the way, when you really check it out, it looked good. He consulted the captains. He consulted this one. He consulted that one. It seemed good in the eyes of all the people. It seemed like they had the majority choice. It seemed like everybody was in one mind. They felt a little more secure because it wasn't two men take upon themselves to do something. It was everybody feeling that way, so nobody can point their finger at nobody. And you know, people like that. Sometimes somebody wants to do something, boy, they feel kind of funny to do it by themselves. So they get one or two people saying, in case I'm guilty, not I alone would have to stand the blame. And they're trying to find security in a multitude of counsel. But it don't always work that way. Sometimes the thing God honors is not whether there's a majority or a minority there. The thing God honors is whether it's lined up with God's word. And I'm trying to bring this as a lesson to show you that there's a due order in the church of God, how it's laid out. There's a due order in the home. There's a due order for everything in God's economy. And David began to find out here in his personal experience that God is going to honor something if it's according to God's word. And we are going to receive the blessing and the benefit if we work in harmony with the word and always will take the attitude to search out and see what the word says about something and if it is pleasing to God before we do it. Not what this great captain of 10,000 thinks. Or this great person over here think of the multitude of these people who seem so experienced think is what God would think. Let every man would be a lie, but let God would be the truth. And that's a lesson that is here. And David found that in this instance. And Brother Abraham take that and he brings to us trying to do God a service. And he shows us how man can want to do God a service. Now, anybody want to do God a service, it seems that that's an unselfish person. Isn't that right? It seems that a person could do the self a service. Could have do the neighbor a service. Could have do the boss on the job a service. But they tried to do God a service. And in trying to do God a service, which they felt, well, after all, God should really bless me and be thankful that in this age when there is so much rebellion and people out there, they're just consuming, you know, up all the energy and the loss of their own flesh and everything else, God should be glad you have a man who wants to do my service. But we find out that though David had a good intention and a good objective, God really wasn't impressed. And though they put on a great big show and they had all the trumpeters and all the dancers and all the things, and it looked well arranged, eh? It looked well arranged. They had it all choreographed, I guess. And, you know, the movements was in sequence, and when they moved this way, they moved that way. And they had it rehearsed, and they had it done really nice. And, you know, everybody, you know, was kind of make sure when they went through the rehearsals, they make sure the note, everybody blowing the right note. They had the same music sheet. They Xerox the copies, or they make duplicate different copies. And everybody knew the part, when to come in, when not to come in. And they had it. It was going to be a great presentation, that when the people from the nations round about saw it and heard it, they were going to be impressed. I know this king ain't eating nice at all. He decided to set a standard that's going to shake the world. And they had a good objective, because David wanted to bring it to his city too. And you know, sometimes, you know, people can get the energies going, and they just take up, it's for the Lord, it's for the Lord. And that's all interesting. They know I'm doing it for the Lord, and I mind, the Lord wouldn't mind if I cut a few corners here and there, because it's for the Lord anyhow. It's not for me. But once we said a cut corner, it's not for the Lord no more, it's for us. And then when we think the Lord should be impressed, because David was vexed. He was real vexed, because this is for God. If it's anybody should have backed up this and make sure nobody in die, it's God. God should have been so watching over this thing that from the time that oxen going to stumble, God should have made sure that oxen move in stride and just move smooth. And after all, he said, okay, since the oxen maybe have the intelligence like a man, and the man who is driving the thing, the oxen, you know, see the ark falling, he knows this is the ark. And I mean to say, the man put his life on the line to try to hold up this ark. Because here was the man driving the oxen, and then notice when it hit the threshing floor, the thing get off balance. And maybe he must be do some piece of, you know, some acrobatics or something to pop up that ark, make a real daring effort. And David was so impressed, but this is a loyal man. I know I had the right man guarding this thing. I know I had the right man behind this thing. When I pick out them men, I put the right man there. And David might have feel real impressed, eh? That when he saw the man dying by supernatural causes, it wasn't the ox wheel roll over the man or the ark fall in the man's head and, you know, he fractured his skull or something. They realized it was a supernatural power that caused the man death. And David realized, well, it's God. It wasn't that somebody hit the man for doing it. So David get real, real vexed with God. And you know, sometimes you're doing something for somebody, you do something for somebody that's causing you a great sacrifice. And you feel you're going out of your way to help this person. And you feel this person ought to be grateful to see the kind of effort you're putting out, because you're doing your best. And you could just make it a little small something, but you get everybody involved. And it seems like you use your influence to get people mind God conscious. We're doing this for the Lord and everybody involved in it. And then it seems like God displeased and God didn't accept the thing. I mean, it seems like God had to please. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord is kindled against David. And David was angry with the Lord too. So they had a heated discussion, I could imagine, you know. And then God had to teach David some sense and say, you cool yourself. If you keep pouting like that, just leave you right there. See? Because God only tell him, he says, you do just like what Cain wanted to do. See? You do it yourself. See? And as a matter of fact, if you want to do something for me, don't you know there is one way provided by God for everything? See? And then, no doubt, maybe the scriptures that have come to him, and God might have told him, go back and see what Moses say. Didn't Moses have the word? Didn't I take Moses up in heaven and show him how what is in heaven have to be represented on the earth? Didn't I show Moses that when this thing is being done, that all those things represent me, and every movement on earth is given by me, by supernatural instructions? Moses didn't went to theology school and learn this. He saw a vision in heaven and he was told, represent it on the earth, that I may dwell among you. Well, no doubt when David began to look back at those things, he began to realize, pleasing God takes knowing God. And not trying to do what we think God should accept, but we humbling ourselves and coming in submission to Him and become more interested in the way He wanted done than taking up in our zeal and our enthusiasm to do something for Him. And so I think many a time we fail to see the fire of God come down and consume our sacrifice, and we fail to see the blessings of God follow even after we make tremendous efforts to please God and spend a lot of energy in the service of God that wears out and then we feel unrewarded. Maybe sometimes we need to re-examine our approach to what we do and how we do it. And realize that it's not so much what we do, but it's how we do it. And it must be in accordance with God's word, and it must be in harmony with God. In other words, it must be God Himself acting out His own word through us, living His own life through us, according to His word. And that is the only thing that is acceptable in the eyes of God. And David had to learn that lesson. Now, it goes a little deep here. If you notice, in 1 Chronicles 11, he was anointed king. All Israel had gathered themselves to him. Notice, all Israel wasn't with him before. The house of Saul was in war against him. See, at one time, under Saul, it was one house. But then it split and became two houses, Judah and the house of Saul. The rest of Israel, they had 10 tribes, and then they had the other tribes there. And then you know what happened? After a little while, there was trouble. Abner was trying to hold the house of Saul. And they were trying to make a great effort that the word spoken by Samuel will not come to pass. Because the new Samuel anointed David. And the new David was God's choice that God raised up to be king over the whole of Israel. So they tried to maintain two groups, one here and one here, and try to hold it apart. And then in trying to do that, then God then had to bring His own word to pass, because since man decided, well, we're not going to let God, what the prophets say come to pass, then God decided, well, He has to take things away with His hands. And you know what happened? Abner went and take Ish-bosheth, one of his stepmothers, which was one of Saul's concubines, and he began to live with her, and that really displeased the boy. And he spoke up against me. He said, how come you go with my father's concubine? Because he knew that when that man go with the concubine, it means he is going towards the throne. And he was really the strength in the army because the other boy was a cripple. He was only like a figurehead ruler since he was Saul's son. See? But then what's something? Finally, the whole thing fell apart. And then Abner says, see me? I am taking the kingdom to David. So then they all came to David because Judah had already anointed David king. Remember the first anointing, Samuel poured his oil upon David. Then Judah poured the oil upon David and made David king. But then all Israel came now and they says, we are thy flesh and thy bone. But there's only one place that was spoken of in the Bible before that, where Adam said, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. Then when that comes over in the New Testament, what does it show us? Paul says, it's a great mystery concerning Christ in the church. We are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones. That the wife was made of part of the same material. Right? So here it was showing the kingdom, David and Israel, was a type of Christ in the church. It was a type of Adam and Eve back there, which was a type of the kingdom that's going to come in the millennium. Because David and Israel was a type of that kingdom back there. Because David represented Christ when he came on the throne. And I told you, Adam and Eve was the first husband and wife. It was also a type of the church, Christ in the church. And it was also a type of Christ and His bride in the millennium. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is Christ and His bride in the millennium. So as we would understand the church, as we would understand the kingdom, as we would understand the family life, we understand better God's purpose, how he has a place for every one of us in his economy. And you see, this is the underlying foundation that is so necessary in your Christian life, because if you only have a revelation or understanding of maybe some of the mysterious truths and prophecies in the last days and these things, when come to dealing with your personal things and having government in your home, having administration in your home, having, you know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, carrying out the word of God, fulfilling the responsibility and these things, you find all of these things going to be haphazard, yet you know the end time, and you know Israel in the homeland, the church in Laodicea, and the world in Sodom, and the second cycle, and the unknown language, and then your life in disarray. See? But these are the things that where you see many times people fail when it comes to applying the word. Administration in the home, in applying the word in their own life. See? Living out that real headship in the home, bringing that submission in the house of God under the headship of Christ. Sometimes some people can manifest headship in the home and then they can't manifest submission in the house of God. In your home, you have the place to be head, but in the house of God, you have the place to be the body. So what does God teach you? You who are under authority here could have authority there. But if you can't be under authority there, then you're going to be misusing the authority there. Then you can deal with your wife according to knowledge, because she's to be submission to you. When you become the wife here, you understand the wife role. So you can relate to the wife according to knowledge, because you have knowledge of how you need to be in submission to be in harmony to your head and under the administration and the rulership of your head here. See? And that is why many times people, when they look at the word of God, if they only look at it as a church, I come and hear a preacher preach, I hear some thoughts, I take some notes, and that's my Christianity, and you know, I have my belief in the concepts, then you find they don't progress much. But the person who from day to day is being faced with circumstances, faced with problems, whether it come in the domestic realm, whether it come in the spiritual realm, whether it come in the physical realm, whether it come in the social realm, see? Whether it come to the religious realm, they can relate to it because they know how to apply the word to their circumstances. They understand that God have a due order, a divine approach, a required way to relate to every circumstance, and that they can live in victory, and that they can have dominion, then they work according to the laws of the word. And they're not struggling. They're not hoping. They don't have things in disarray. They're not hoping that it go out of control. They bring that according to the word of God. They approach God. They lay it out before him. And they approach him in the due order that govern that thing. And then they begin to see God is real. And God is interested whether they have a spiritual warfare to fight, whether they have to get close upon the children back. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's finances to pay their bills, they see God is interested in that. The same God who wants to teach them the deeper things in the word that seem so hard to understand. They realize God is interested. The same God who was giving them manna, was fighting the battles, was bringing them to the promise, was making sure he took them through the Red Sea and baptized them, was making sure he took them through the circumstances, take the Egypt out of them, was making sure they die to themselves, coming through the Jordan, was making sure that he placed them positionally in Canaan land, with the same God who would teach them to worship, bring the sacrifice, approach God. Is that right? When there were leprosy, how to cleanse them, how to bring them back in fellowship with God. He was teaching them every area of their life. When they have to marry a wife, how not to get married to unbelievers and everything else. The same God was teaching them everything. So God wasn't interested in bringing them to stop the sun. Sun, stand still. Moon, hold your place. I want my mountain. Yet that same God was teaching how to worship God and approach God when the tabernacle was set up. Is that right? That same God brought them to the Red Sea. So when they were hungry, that same God was showing he could provide food for them. Exactly. When they married a wife, before they go out and get killed in a battle or something, he said, cheer up your wife. Stay home. Cheer up your wife a little bit. That same God said, when you have your children there, sit down and talk to them. walk with them and talk with them. He says, put the word of God on your doorpost, put it in different places. Is that right? The same God was teaching them everything. He would even tell them, you're going to be taking the captivity. If you disobey my word, I'm going to bring in the heathen inside of here. You're going to have to flee from your enemies. Is that right? You're going to run 7 ways. See? And not until then, after some time passed, then I'm going to bring you back in your land. When you repent, when you seek with all your heart, then I'll be fond of you. The same, every area of their life, he was teaching them. He would tell them how you're going to have material blessing, how they're going to have a blessing that, you're going to prosper them. When the calf give young, when the cow give young, how the children going to eat this and the children going to eat that. You're going to have an abundance. You're going to make them the lender, not the borrower. So that God, in that first Exodus, is the same God in the second Exodus. When he came down, he showed them he was the source. They wanted bread. They had no bread to eat. What did he do? He multiplied the bread. Showing them their faith in the anointed word would produce what they had need of, because the word didn't just call them out of the denomination to get them the Holy Ghost. The word wanted to feed them bread when they're hungry too. When they were sick, the same one healed them of the diseases. He was interested in them. If their health is being run down on these things, he was going to take care of it. See? Then the same one said, I'll send the Spirit of truth who will lead you and guide you into all truth also. Is that right? Exactly. And that same one has come back in the third Exodus. And then what do we face with? Economic recession, unemployment, crime situation, drug problems, all these different things. What are we going to do? Look to the Word again. Approach the Word for it. Because God promised to take care of all these things. And there's a Word, there's a provided way, there's a due order to seek God concerning these things. And that is where you see so many people not being able to function, relate. So they get blocked up in the mind. They get stagnated in their life. They get frustrated with the problems. Yet they know who the prophet is. Yet they know they're in the bride age. Yet they know we need to know the 7 seals and the 7 churches. Yet they know the rapture is going to take place and we have a theophany beyond the curtain of time. And yet they know the millennium, but the bride and the Jews will be in the millennium. And they know these things, but yet now when they're faced with problems, we're going to tell the devil, the bride will be in the millennium. You have to get the relevant word for that devil, depending on what angle that devil coming on. And the area in your life where you've been handicapped, you have to seek God according to the due order concerning that situation. And if you don't seek him according to the due order, you're going to struggle and struggle and don't get the blessing. Because there's a blessing when you seek him according to the due order. You have God cooperating with you and working together with you. But when you're trying to seek God, not according to the due order, you're working the energy of your flesh and you're going to discover somewhere along the line you don't have God backing in the situation. And that's what David was discovering. He didn't have God backing in the situation. He was working the energy of the flesh. But when he got lined up with God and was seeking God in the due order concerning what he was trying to do, he saw he had God backing because he was seeking God according to the way God had told the prophet that these things must be done. You understand that? So there's a way. There's a provided way. And that is, these things that we look at, we realize that there's an order in the things of God. That says, Israel, when they had to march, they had to march in order. Is that right? When they had to camp, they had to camp in order. When they worship, they had to worship in order. Anybody couldn't do anything. God's kingdom never had that. At no time. And that is why, especially in this hour, it comes to the place where we see it becomes so necessary for us to seek God in the way that we ought to. So, look at this. David here, he was freshly anointed. In other words, he just got filled with the Spirit. He was just like sealed, you might say. Because that was God confirmational. He's king. He's placed positionally. Baptized and positionally placed. Man, what a place. Samuel had given his first anointing. He come through from the sheep court to the throne. All the experience that mold the character that was necessary. And now he is placed, positioned with authority. And he recognized it was according to what Samuel had said. In other words, he saw the prophet's prophecy coming to pass in his life. It was a great time for him. That was anointed faith. And yet, in that situation, it tells us he went on to become greater and greater in the Lord. Because now he's freshly anointed. He went forth, he fought the Philistines. But he was taking more territory now. And he had the backing behind him. All the people was greatly enthused. Oh, things was happening great. And then they caught this inspiration. In the days of Saul, we didn't seek God by the ark. So brothers, in other words, it's time to camp on higher ground. Because this is the ark that Joshua opened the Jordan with. This is the ark that whenever they were going against the enemy, that God is to dwell between the wings of the cherubim over the mercy seat. And that is where they would consult God. That's where God would speak from. So in other words, this was David was thinking about his kingdom of bringing it up into all the world. He ran to the multitude of people. He ran to different ones. Oh God, he sought the opinions of people. And then, Lord, he was disappointed when he wasn't getting the success. When things wasn't working out the way he anticipated it should work out. Until he began to get vexed with you and thinking that you was hindering his progress, Lord. When he could be a great success in his endeavors. But Lord, you had to show him, dear God, without you, he can do nothing. But through you, he can do all things because you strengthened him, O God. Lord, tonight, let us learn these lessons in simplicity, Lord, in humility. Let us come to the place we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, where we can see this little church here, dear God, under your headship, under your leadership. O God, everything in its place, O God. We can lay down our head, O God. We can just move aside ourselves, O God, and just, Lord, as we see your word, dear God, we just walk. In your revealed word, it been a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The entrance of it giving light unto us, O God. And as we walk in that light, Lord God, your blood become an effective cleansing from all sin. Loosen us from all the hindrances and these things, dear God, and bring us into fellowship with you. Where your counsel could continue to unfold and become so much more clearer to us. That, dear God, we have the mind of Christ for every situation. Knowing what you want done with the word. Didn't you say this is what the bride will be in this hour, Father? That she will have the mind of Christ. She will know what he wants done with the word. Oh, God, to know that when there's a service to be done, Lord God, there's a time for it. There's a season for it, Lord. It is written somewhere in the word. Oh, God, there's a chosen vessel, oh, God. And then there, Lord God, must be vindicated, Father. There's 5 musts to do your true service, Lord. How many times people fail to take these things into consideration. We look at the anointing. We look at our place. We look at the revelation we receive, oh God. And we fail to seek you even according to the due order. How many times we see because of that so many die, Father. Die along the journey. Put in their hand to the ark and dine. The move of God having to be stopped every time. And then people becoming vexed with God. And God being angry with the people and failing to see the due orders revealed by the Exodus prophet. What was laying there, right there in the word, oh God. Lord God, to look into and apply the word and be able to move on and have true success. Father, that's what we want to do in this hour. We want things to move by the word, dear God. Not in our own energy, oh God. Not in our own thinking. Not in the multitude of counsel, oh God. But under the headship, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Everything in its place, everyone. Knowing the boundary, knowing the limitation. Everyone in harmony, the body fitly joined, compacted together. By which everyone supplied. Oh God, not just in the house of God, but in our individual lives, Lord. Not there alone, but in the homes, oh God. Lord, where there could be a real government of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh God, you said the government will be upon the shoulders. And the shoulder is part of the body, and that is the bride. The body word upon the earth today, dear God. Lord, may you lead us, Father. Let your counsel become so real to us. Let your intelligence, oh God, come down. We're in the mind age now, Lord. Where you're putting the mind of Christ into the bride, Lord. She has the mind. She knows how the word must be carried out in this hour. Oh God, let us see where every move on the earth would reflect you, God. Where every move of a brother or a sister, Lord God, one filled with the Spirit, Lord. If there is one who have the Spirit, dear God, we can see the due order, how to approach it, how to come into it, how to receive it, how it will govern our life and cause us to behave and conduct ourselves and carry out the word. So we can see, oh God, Jesus Christ in 2 feet again. Grant these things tonight, we pray, Father. Let these things be the meditation of our heart, oh God. May it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. As we think on these things, Lord. Things have is a virtue and is honest and a good report, dear God. Things that is according to your revealed will for us, Lord. May we meditate and give ourselves wholly unto this form of doctrine. No one will not save ourselves, but we'll save others also. Teach us, Lord. Break it down, Lord, and make it real in every heart. Lord, as we fellowship around these things tonight, Lord, as we go home, chewing it over and meditating upon it and then waiting upon the Spirit as we pray over it for leadership and how to apply it and how it can become relevant in the different areas, Lord. And Lord, as you would lead and you would furnish, we pray in the areas that would cover the different departments of our lives as the people have need of, you will give to us, that we can see the church, Lord, truly become settled, Lord, and stable and established, dear God. And believers knowing, oh God, in quietness and in confidence, oh God, as your Spirit, Lord, would lead them and they can see victory. They can see a growth, a development of the life of Jesus Christ. They can see, oh God, Father, things that seem dark and obscure to them being brought to light, illuminating them, Lord, and they can be able to truly work with you, dear God, not having to be frustrated and wondering whether they call or not call, but Lord God, like the mother taking the child's arm and putting it in the sleeve, after the baby was wearing himself out trying to get a hand in the sleeve, so dear God, may you take our minds tonight and put it in the channel, Lord, where we can be so led by the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, we can let go and let God have his wonderful way. Oh, God, may you grant it tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, further on these things we pray. We know you will do it because you promised to do it, Lord, and we ask in faith tonight, knowing, oh, God, is going to help us to be better stewards, better Christians, better servants of yours, Lord, to fulfill the ministry that you have given unto each and every one of us. Grant these things, we pray, as we commit every one into your hands. And Father, as we leave this place tonight to go to our homes, we ask that your presence would go with us. You would watch over us. You would take us safely along the way, and your peace would be in our hearts, dear God. And your Spirit will just deal with us even while we drive our cars, while we travel, oh God, and while we lay on our beds in meditation, when we wake up in the morning, the word be close to us, oh God. And while we go through the day tomorrow, should it tarry in our life, Lord God, we can just have the Spirit, dear God, bring it back to our remembrances, oh God, and unfold it in a greater way. Grant it, we commit everyone into your hands now, thanking you for your grace and blessing. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. God, any rivers you think they're uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes, friends. And take the few thoughts tonight and take them in your heart and seal them up with the Holy Spirit and pray over them. And you don't have to struggle. You just eat the word. You're going to see the growth going to come out of them. You know, I have little children. They're growing up there, nourish them. Some on the breast, some being fed at the table. Some could dish out their own food and everything else. And they're growing up. You realize, sometimes the only time you realize they're growing is when they outgrow their clothes. You see the pants become a three-quarter pants, means it be a long pants. You see the shirt tighten and the buttons popping and everything else. And it's like you didn't even notice they was growing. You didn't even notice the effect, the food they was eating was having on them. But then you see it taking place because the vitamins is inside the word. And as they feed upon it and they digest it and begin to get into different parts of the body, different members of the body, and those different members begin to move and become stronger, and then you find they begin to to see for their own selves that things they couldn't lift up before, things that they couldn't do before, that they can do it. See, this one can lift up his little buddy, he's trained before, now he could put him in the back and run around the house with him almost. You like, hey, you get strong, boy. Where you got strength from? He don't know. He didn't maybe do nothing. He didn't go to no gym and try to work out his iron, pump iron and these things. He was just eating and growing. See, and just being refreshed, and you watch and see. It's all happening on the inside. Don't look for too much outside things. Look for something on the inside. On the inside of the inside. Amen. Where you shut away with God in His presence. Got any rivers you think aren't crossable? Just have faith and believe Him. God, you go home tonight, go home with victory, go home with settled faith. God bless you. The tennis service back to our brother.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own. Trust in the Lord.